Amateur's Guide to Love Island will not be heard at this time, so that we may bring you our own panel of guidebook experts.
This is Gordon Pepper, and these are not my top 10 stories of the year. Ha ha!
I tried to poke and prod a list out of him, but he was too late with it. Maybe we'll...
No, these are not my top 10. I'm making a point. I'm making a political statement.
Interesting you would say that.
I know. Because there's something involved, maybe, within the top 10 regarding that.
Yeah. It's possible, but you know what? I'm on strike until Kobayashi is allowed to compete in the 4th of July Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
You've been on strike then since 2015, I guess. Or whatever it was.
Free Kobayashi! Free Kobayashi!
I'm surprised the poor guy's gut hasn't blown out yet.
That's true, but we will say this. There have, you know, it's been
a Joey Chestnut on an open fire.
Bro!
I am trying to get this train on the track, and you're deciding to drive it off a cliff.
And how's that different from any other week?
So noted.
A cliff hasn't been invited yet. Maybe John Ratzenberger will, and it's a little bit late to invite some of the other Cheers people.
Mm-hmm.
You're driving off a cliff. What did a cliff ever do to you?
No, but we commissioned our, well, Pico and I did, and a few others did, the top 10 stories of 2025 so far. And it's a very interesting list. We've had a lot of interesting things happen over the first 6 months of 2025.
Yep, and we're going to go over them.
Right. So, let's do that.
Raise a Rapping Dragon! Rapping Dragon has rights!
Golden Schweigen! That's the only German I know. From somewhere in America, WLTI is on! Let's go!
Bring back the clunks!
Oh, jeez. Welcome to the first half recap of 2025. This is three episodes away from 500, number 497, here on WLTI and 5 and 1. My name is Jason Block, strength and conditioning coach, all-around good guy, with Chico and Gordon. Gentlemen, happy half year to you, sir.
Happy half year to you, sir. I hope you are staying cool. I hope you're staying hydrated. As a woman much wiser than I once said, hydrate, focus, and keep your head in the game.
And let's keep our head in the game with the top 10 stories of 2025 so far.
Number 10.
Politics and game shows. Suffice it to say, 2025 has been what supposed ancient Chinese people would say, interesting times. I'm here to tell you that interesting times suck. And I'm being, you know, subjective when I say so. There are certain stipulations that are affecting game shows. For example, tariffs, travel, recording things in country as opposed to recording things out of country. To say it's a whole giant thing would do a disservice to giant things.
Well, first of all, I agree with you, but a lot of this is potential, okay? Because a lot of tacos have been going around, and you know what I mean by that. And the proposal that we really were talking about is the fact that President Trump said that he wanted to put tariffs on all non-American movies that were made in foreign countries. And of course we can, what's the word that you could use that you could project you could project that that might include game shows, because a lot of game shows that we know that are here in the United States are shot in places outside of the United States, such as, say, for example, Trivial Pursuit, Scrabble, Lingo.
The upcoming match game could be shot in Montreal, if I'm not mistaken.
In Montreal, yes.
Name That Tune in Australia, Wipeout in Brazil.
The Quiz with Balls in Australia.
Quiz with Balls in Australia. A lot of stuff that's Fox is Australia. Wipeout currently doesn't have a United States version of it, but I've been hearing it may be coming back. So if it does, there, it's not there. I actually think this is going to be, I think it should be a 10. I think it's going to be a lot higher at the end of the year, because we've seen all sorts of form shenanigans happening all over the world in terms of things, and we've already seen other countries bite back. And it's going to be real interesting to see, okay, we're talking about things being USA imported back here. Are game shows one of them? Are television shows one of them? Are movies one of them? We don't know. We know about movies, but again, what kind? What sort? We've also seen President Trump say something and then push back, or get pushed back, and then he changes his mind. So there's all sorts of different things that are on the table that could very well be off the table. We just don't know.
Right, that's right.
We're going to see how much teeth the dog has in his bark this time around.
Yeah, the word you're looking for is taco, by the way, Gordon.
That's what I said, taco. That's right.
No, I'm not, because taco has a Latin American feel to it, and the irony about this, that is that this affects almost every place except Latin America.
Look it up, dude.
Yes.
There's a reason why people like to order chicken tacos on Tuesdays.
Oh, well, let's rip the Band-Aid off. What do you mean?
Trump always chickens out. That's the acronym. He doesn't like that. It means that he will take things back, like you just said. Let's move on to story number 9.
Number 9.
Paramount still held up. One of the big stories that we're going to look forward to in 2025 is Paramount's ultimate sale to Skydance and the merger therein. However, there are still some things that are holding up the sale of the company. Off the top of my head, I can't think of any of those things that are holding up the sale of the company, but I imagine the FTC has something to say about this. Pending litigation regarding 60 Minutes on CBS. Jay, help me out here.
Well, no, I'm not going to necessarily help you out. I'm just saying that this deal was announced literally a year ago, and the approval hasn't happened yet, and there are rumors that it may not even happen still. Right, Gordon? It's not there yet.
Let me make things more blunt here. Part of it, you could say rearranging the deck chairs as a Titanic, to be a little bit snarky about it. But the real answer is, if you're going to sell something that big with that value on it, you need to make sure there's no skeletons in the purse that is writing the check, so to speak. And what I mean by that is this. You're seeing all these potential lawsuits that could be coming and all these other issues. And if you were selling it, it's picking it up. You were picking up all the baggage. You're not just picking up all the good stuff. You're picking up all the lawsuits. You're picking up everything that goes along with it. It's sort of like the dog that constantly poops all over the kitchen. You may not know the dog's pooping all over the kitchen, and then all of a sudden it's your dog and it's pooping over the kitchen, and the old owner is no longer responsible. You are.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it may not get sold because of all the blemishes and the devaluation of Paramount that it currently is. And for Paramount, that may be a blessing in disguise. What does that mean for game shows? Nothing good. If you're trying to get max value out of it, you need to keep the stuff that's there. And something that I think is also going to be in the top 10 somewhere by the end of the year, maybe not now, but later, you're going to be spinning off and spinning away networks and things that do not add value. Or you think, again, rearranging the deck chairs of Titanic, stuff that would cause your ship to sink.
And we've seen that happen already with Comcast spinning off Versant, and I think there was another company that's working on spinning off their assets into another company.
That was Warner Brothers Discovery that is split into two different entities.
There you go.
I mean, do not be surprised, Gordon, if Paramount Plus may be one of the first streamers to maybe bite the bullet and go away because of this.
You're sort of right, but you're not really right. It will spin off the streamers are the thing that's keeping it afloat right now. So they're not going to spin off the streamers. But you could see them spin off brick and mortar.
Possibly. Like selling off the studio space.
Yeah. I mean, again, if they're having some issues right now that they need capital, that's what you'd be doing on the capital side.
All right. Indeed. That's another story we will follow up in the second half.
Number 8.
The Traitors. Success breeds competition. Another year, and the Traitors continues to be the be-all, end-all of the reality show world, spawning versions all over the world, and forcing people looking to get into the reality game to adjust their elevator pitches thusly. You see, in 2025, if you want a reality show on the air, your elevator pitch has to include the phrase, "It's like the Traitors, but..."
I'm gonna slowly disagree with you on this. And the reason being is that now it's Me Too, and keep in mind that, again, it takes time for shows when they get greenlit to go to development and then get filmed and then air. So maybe sort of, kind of, if this was a year ago, but you're seeing some of the clones come out, and let's just say they are less than impressive.
Yeah, the snake being perhaps the worst of the worst, despite Jim Jeffries.
Well, what is the ratings? What is the ratings of the snake?
So the ratings on Tuesday. It's not even in the top 10 of shows. That's how bad it is. Oh, here we go.
Well, it just has to be in the top 10. I mean, that's not saying much.
Okay, here we go. So,
even over a million viewers, right?
No, nope. The 1% Club is getting over a million viewers. 1.5 million viewers for the 1% Club. The snake's cutting that audience in half.
Yeah, that's not good.
No bueno.
So, I mean, again, it's summer, so you're not expecting that much. But having a 50% removal from your lead-in, that's not very good. But what you can say in terms of Fox is, what's old is new again, the only thing that Fox has that is, shall we say, original right now is 1% Club. And you can make the argument, well, it's original when it was on Amazon, now it's on Fox because they snagged it. But, you know, that's another story for another time. But you do have, at least this point, you have Million Dollar Secret, you have The Snake, you have anything that is psychological reality show, even with The Goat, even with I Can Keep On Going, The House of Villains, etc., 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 ad nauseum. So when does this go away? It goes away when you stop watching.
Yeah.
And the Traitors won't go away for a while because they're just
it's just that darn good.
Right. And
next.
Oh, and by the way, Raid the Cage is doing actually quite well, believe it or not.
Which is not part of the Traitors.
Nope.
No.
It's its own animal.
Number 7.
POC and Women Rule Quiz again. You have the champion of the World Quizzing Championship. Once again, the smartest woman in the world is Victoria Gross, who came in second to Dowd Campbell of the UK. But the winner of the Jeopardy Masters, Yogesh Raut. And
good for him.
And then,
you know, it's one of the things, and I'm going to sort of put this with current events here a little bit. Yogesh Raut is, if you know him personally and you can understand him, he's very cool. A lot of people, I think, unfairly classify him as a villain because he speaks his mind. And yes. I say that because in New York, we now have a new Democratic mayor candidate. Shall we say he is not a Caucasian? He is somebody different. And he is presenting a lot of different ideas that all of a sudden people are offended by. And I almost sort of feel Yogesh Raut in certain circles gets that same unpreferential treatment. And I'm wondering again if part of the reason is because, oh, your racism is showing.
I'm not going to lie. It is a bit of a factor there.
But again, but here, and of course, the TOC member Neelish Vinjamuri. Again, we are starting to see the, I'll use the term, democratization of game shows. And we've been seeing this trend going on, Gordon, for, what, about 10 years now, I would say?
I wouldn't say democratization, I would say melting pot.
Yes, but about 10 years, thereabouts?
Like that.
Okay.
And not to mention the third member of the Masters Final, Javeria Zaheer, who is both a person of color and a woman.
Yes. And the fact is that we love to see this.
We do.
We have been complaining.
Well, let's classify we as people with open minds.
Yes.
To welcome everybody regardless of any differences that you have, because the one thing that makes us all equal is the love of game shows.
Indeed.
And with a bunch of people, trivia game shows.
Excuse me.
And trivia.
Here to that, and the fact is that, like I said, it's really great, and both Yogesh is going to defend his title, Victoria's going to come back, Javeria's going to come back, and we're going to see more of this, and people watch.
Yep.
They do. Next one.
Next one. Number six. And this is going to wrap up the first act. The Luckiest Man in America. The story of Press Your Luck's Michael Larson is told on the big screen? Except it isn't really. I mean, it's one of those
things. I would not have put this at number six. This is not my top 10. Hashtag.
Okay, that's fine.
That's fair.
That's fine. I mean, I understand that, but I'm just... But let's just say this. It was disappointing. You know, what were we nitpicking at it? Yeah. But the fact is that it just was not a good movie.
I'm wondering if... Okay, so I hear from good people that said that Bill Carruthers, not Bill Carruthers Sr., but Bill Carruthers Jr., gave the movie makers a whole lot of notes on how things were done because he was there when it all happened. They did not use a single note.
Apparently they used it for a litmus paper. See how acidic they can make the movie. You can quote one on that, by the way.
Dude. Anyway, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where if you are a layperson, and by layperson I mean a person who is outside of the fandom and the industry, you may kind of sort of enjoy it, perhaps, but...
Well, probably not, because again, you see everything, and you can even look at the previews of it and be like, wait, there's no way that this possibly could have happened the way that it was. Because you're bringing in pieces and stats and things that weren't even in the original version, that technologically were not in the original version.
Bingo. Right. Of course.
So it's like, it feels like I'm in another movie. It feels like I'm in Brain Games in Tales of Rongovia. Is what it feels like. And yeah, I'm pulling out a really old reference.
But again, I don't know if they will ever... But to put it to you this way, the best game show movie is still 1994's Quiz Show by Robert Redford. It was absolutely...
I disagree with you. I'm going to go with Slumdog Millionaire.
I'm going to have to side with Gordon on this.
Okay. Well, they're both very good.
But let's put it this way. You have a huge variety of game shows that you can... That if you're looking for a game show fix, you have a wild variety of game shows that you will probably get more enjoyment out of. Even Stay Tuned, the part with John Ritter and Pat Dauber for that. And I'm sorry, Pam Dauber.
I remember that movie. I don't want to remember that.
That was a fun movie.
Stay Tuned.
I do want to remember that movie. Yeah, Stay Tuned was a lot of fun. The only issue that I had with it is it may have been a little bit before its time, but it's still, if you can sit back and learn how to laugh, it is a fun movie. That and Crazy People.
I love Crazy People.
Also, the scene in UHF, Wheel of Fish.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
Nothing! Absolutely nothing!
But you know what? This is something, which was the end of the first act. In Act 2, we get some real news and some stuff that we have to talk about. And then in Act 3, we finish up the top 10. So, Chico, take us to the break.
With Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, I'm Chico Alexander, 6751. You're home for We Love Twitter Up's top 10 stories of 2025 so far. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 different fish we would love to put on the Wheel of Fish.
Trout.
Smelt.
Like a sturgeon.
See what I did there? Salmon.
Conger eels.
Anything that we can find on Morimoto Sushi Master.
And of course, you never want to hit the fugu. No fugu.
No fugu.
We'll be back after this.
One in four of us will be affected by mental illness at some point in our lives. Yet nearly two-thirds of us will never seek help, especially men. We pride ourselves on courage and our ability to never show weakness. But mental health touches us all. We are athletes, actors, and musicians. We are friends, husbands, and fathers. It's one of us. It's one of you. It's time for men to talk about mental health. Help starts with the conversation. End the stigma. To learn more about our stories, visit bringchangethemind.org.
Brain Vision News is presented by Farmer Ken's World Famous Hose. That's right, Farmer Ken's World Famous Hose. You can cultivate, loosen, aerate, and weed your lawn. Get rid of all those pesky weeds. It's hot outside. The summer's here. You gotta work on your lawn, make it nice and beautiful. Why not do it with one of Farmer Ken's World Famous Hose? Now available at a local do-it-yourself hardware store near you.
I think that was from the same producers of Who Wants to Be a Whore to Culturalist, right?
Yeah.
Nice! By the way...
Anyways.
By the way, according to Ken Jennings, the answer is never hoe.
Right.
Rake. What is a rake?
What is a weeder?
Wouldn't if you would.
Anyway, as we enjoy being the weeder of the pack, we don't have a lot of time. We do have a lot of more puns, but we don't have a lot of time. So roll that beautiful brain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morse. As always, you can follow Doug Morse on all social media at Doug Morse Games at Rock 104 Rock Tracks and at Tracks Productions. And you can listen to Doug Morse every Sunday as he hosts Rock Tracks with Doug Morse from high atop his palatial estate in the Pine Belt on Rock 104 WXRR Hattiesburg 104.5 on your FM dial and all over the nose.
Multiverse
on rock104fm.com, the Odyssey app, and the Rock 104 apps.
Okay, very quickly, Mr. Gilbert.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
Okay, so the Wheel of Champions, and Jason has done his research, so I know this for a fact, is currently at 10. In the crosshairs tonight was Kylie Campbell, a teacher from Salt Lake City, whose one-day cash winnings total $24,201, as she faces off against Rocco Graziano, a substitute teacher from Up Your Way, Guys, Staten Island, New York, and Janice Ray, a marketing and publishing professional from St. Johnsbury, Vermont. So, going into the final, it's Rocco's game to lose with 17,200. Janice has 7,800. Kylie has 5,800. Let's just do it for Shiggles. Final Jeopardy's category, 20th Century Figures. The clue! Ironic in light of her name, she was remembered in a eulogy as the most hunted person of the modern age.
Should have known this. I did not. Chico, what's the correct answer?
I got this while everybody missed it. It is Diana, Princess of Wales. Gordon?
I had who is a Bambi Baker.
Yes. Reason why is ironic of her name, because Diana was the alternative name of Artemis, the goddess of the hunt. That's why.
Correct.
So, there's that, and Rocco will try to break the 10-game Wheel of Champions tomorrow. So, we need to do a couple of quick, honest reviews, and Chico and I will go first, because we have played this particular one.
Yes.
It's called Quiztopia. It debuted this week on the Portal 1 app.
Yes, the app that you turn on at 9 o'clock to play Centipede and Breakout for fun and profit now has its very own quiz show at 8:30, where Marcus Bailey asks you 10 multiple choice questions, and the faster you are, the more you can win. And of course, it helps if you are also correct. But yeah, not only that, 20 people can win from a random draw. So, yeah, all they have to do is get one question out of the 10 right, and they're entered into the drawing. Each question is worth $5 to your personal bank. If you are picked as a wild card, you win your entire bank. However, if you are the fastest and the most correctest, yeah, that's a word, shut up, you win $100.
And it's every night at 8:30. The good. There's no fumfing, humping.
There's no drag.
I mean, there's no way they're not trying to disguise this into a half hour show.
No, this is a 15 minute show, and it's a quick 15 minutes. And and by the way, if you get questions correctly in a row, your score will multiply, like 1.2, 1.3, 1.4. You're playing for points. The questions are on the easy side, but you know what? That's what you're supposed to do with a couple of harder things. The host makes it fun because he's on a virtual green screen, virtual world. There's nothing really wrong with this. This is a very solid B for me.
I think this is an A show. It's very challenging. It's everything HQ wanted to be but couldn't due to its live nature. I guess when you're shooting things live to tape as they do on Portal 1, it helps the product. And this definitely helps the product. It's an A show. It's an A.
Have you tried it yet, Gordon?
Well, yes, I have. So a couple of things. Excuse me. And I'll go with things that I like and things that I don't. What I do like, I actually see less of less of HQ and more of That's Right in this show. Meaning that you only need to get one question right in order to be eligible for some sort of grand drawing that they have. So I like that. I like the fact, and I think it's very smart, that you're not putting up 5,000, you're not putting up this, somebody is going to win whatever the heck their bank is. So, and it's not anywhere near 5,000. So,
in other words, I would say, Chico, what do they give away? 500 a night, would you say?
That's about right, yeah.
Guaranteed 500 is a lot less strenuous on the budget than a guaranteed 5,000. Not to mention the fact that this is done how often a week?
It's every night at 8:30.
So that includes Saturdays and Sundays.
Yes.
Yes, I'm trying to extract the details you didn't knock you out. So you have that, which is obviously 7 nights of this show is cheaper than 1 night of Trivia HQ. So that is a plus. That is a good thing. I do like the fact that it feels like at least they're trying different things on that. That's the good. The bad. Format is still multiple choice. If you get it right, it's there. So I don't understand where the A is coming from on the A show. I get it. They're trying to be different, but it really, you don't see a lot of difference there. And they really could have made this a lot different. They didn't. Fine, whatever. It's still a decent show. I don't think it's A-level. I also think the host, it reminds me of a beginning host on that level. So they're a little bit on the green side on that. But it's not terrible. I'll give it B-.
Okay.
Not the worst thing ever. It's definitely something for 15 minutes. It won't hurt you, and it's not a terribly produced show, and we've seen those.
Oh, we have. Oh, God, we have.
Oh, boy. Win quick, anybody?
So it doesn't fall there, so B-.
Okay, so there's that. And the second one is The King of Drag on Reverie, which, if you remember... Reverie is the spelling of the network. I don't know how to pronounce it. If I mispronounce it, I apologize. Anyway, King of Drag. If you remember what RuPaul's Drag Race was in its infancy, it's like that, but with drag kings instead of drag queens. And honestly...
So what's the premise?
Well, the premise is we're searching for America's next great drag king.
I think Snatch Game on regular season 7, where you had, and various just Snatch Games after that, when you have Little Richard and James Brown and that. And you're getting a basic sort of kind of feel on drag kings.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, it has a lot of the same guts to it. Murray Hill, comedian, drag pioneer, is your host. Your panel of judges are Sasha Velour from RuPaul's Drag Race, network co-founder Damian Pelliconi, drag kings Tenderoni and Wang Newton round out the panel. So it has a lot of guts, has a lot of potential, because we also have, in the episode we saw, WNBA basketball star Laisha Clarendon as a guest judge. So very, and also appearing later on down the line, Kylie, Sonique Love, Carmen Carrera, and Gottmik. Then, later on this season, we have Lisa Rinna, Cola Scola, Liv Hewson, Mika Ortiz.
Tony Award-winning Cola Scola. Get it
put
right.
Some put some respect on their name, I know. And drag legend Jackie Beat. So, yeah. Lots of stuff going on there. And the good news is, it is very much to the point of the show. Nothing happens that, you know, nothing happens that just happens to happen. Everything has meaning.
We're going a little Chekhov's gun here, which I like. I like the fact you're pulling in the heavy hitters. I like the fact that you're pulling in alumni, not just alumni, but good alumni. They know how this works in terms of the, and pun intended here, the Jackie Beat. On the beat of the production value, not the production value, I'm sorry, the beat on the storylines, the structure, the format, how it's supposed to go. Does it feel like it's ripped a page out of RuPaul's Drag Race? Sure. But when you have this sort of contest with these sort of people, it's going to feel like that. I like the show more than I thought I was going to. I thought I was going to get a flipped copycat. I didn't get a flipped copycat, and they really put a lot of love on this. And you could tell how much love went into this.
Definitely a lot of love went into this.
Yeah, let's go to the bad, because I think, unfortunately, Chico, you nailed this on the head. It feels like a season one of RuPaul's Drag Race, because if you remember, the production values on season one of RuPaul's Drag Race was not nearly as good as all the other seasons, and this sort of suffers from the same thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
I get it. Riveri is not one of the majors in terms of that, but I do like the product that they put out. I can overlook the production values of this. I thought the hosting was very good. I thought the judging was really good. Seeing Sasha Velour in a non-RuPaul's Drag Race style show, and keep in mind that she has only been on season 9 and that's it. So seeing her in something different, that's fun to see. This is, I don't want to say campy, that's not the right word, but these are all people that you have seen before on other shows. So you've seen Murray in Drag Me to Dinner, you've seen other people on other shows. If you can overlook some of the things that you can tell, okay, well, maybe you hope that they had a bigger budget. If you can overlook some of that, this is actually a pretty fun show, and I would put it around the same level, a little bit higher than I did with the trivia show. B.
He is the right call. He is the right call here. It's good. It does feel a little copycat-ish, okay? But again, Murray Hill makes it, and I've had the chance to meet and interact with Murray Hill. Very great performer. And I'd like to see someone try to go against the RuPaul monopoly. Let's, you know, this is the you know, it may not be a big shot, but it's a shot across the pow. Good for Reverie for trying it. B, one of the better new shows of the year so far.
So far, so good. A really good show. It is a B show. Cannot wait to see more of it.
I would really like to see Murray Hill in something that's not a drag show.
Yes.
Or a drag concept. I think Murray is underrated. And underrated and understated. I would like to see, in the words of RuPaul, I'd like to see some more versatility.
Oh, you like
and my name is not Santino.
Oh, you like to see more versatility, huh?
I would. Anyway, Jay, speaking of RuPaul.
She's already the hair.
you have this.
I do. And hopefully Gordon has a sort of a country line dance mix of Sissy That Walk or something. Because we are going to, well, Orville Peck as guest judge this week is taking us to Stage Cooch.
Stage Cooch instead of Stagecoach. Ouch.
Instead of Stagecoach, yes.
Yes.
I just got that.
Yeah. Orville Peck is coaching our superstars as they are grouped into three queen groups. Representing Keir Carr, Cynthia Lee Fontaine, Diabetti, and Ginger Minj. And representing Trailer Hitch, Acid Betty, Alyssa Hunter, and Denali. Now, all of this is after a mini challenge of a clueless photo shoot. Denali wins $1,000 off of that. Your runway theme, Night of 1,000 Miley's.
Nice.
I could barely handle the one myself. Your top two is Denali and Ginger Minj, and they each get 2 Tournament of All-Stars points and the right to lip sync for their legacy, See You Again by Miley Cyrus, the song. Ginger Minj is the winner, $10,000 and a bonus point. So going into, if I can get...
Final quarterfinal, right?
The final quarterfinal. Going into the final quarterfinal, we have Ginger Minj at 6, Cynthia Lee Fontaine right behind at 4, Diabetti and Denali tied at 3, and Acid Betty and Alyssa Hunter bringing up the rear, giggity, at 1.
You sort of knew that this was how it was going to play out, though.
Yeah.
Agreed. Oh, yeah. We did. I don't think we need 5 minutes, but we have a couple. Let's do a quick replay.
Okay, so we have 2 repeat offenders this week. The first is Tom Sandoval and his band on America's Got Talent. According to the judges, Mel B smiled. She got happy vibes. And apart from that song being one of the favorite songs, the song was Take On Me. You all look like you were having fun, enjoying yourselves, and not embarrassed to say that you were in a cover band. Sophia Vergara says, I love cover bands. I love the band. I love the energy. Tom, you look amazing up there. I think you guys brought us joy tonight. Howie Mandel says, Tom is a showman. He really takes this seriously. For me, it was great. Simon went full Simon, saying, the vocals weren't great, Tom. All the judges said yes. Tom Sandoval is in the next round. By the way, Tom Sandoval and the Most Extras is the name of the group.
Oh, lovely.
So what
next.
What was on the other channel? Another repeat offender. Tyler Crispin, who was on 3 different game shows. Big Brother, The Challenge, and something that looked like Tag but was on CBS at or around the same time as Big Brother.
Okay.
I do not remember the name of it.
It was called Tag.
No, that was Ultimate Tag and it was on Fox. But it was something else.
I'm looking.
Okay. While you're looking, I will let you know that Tyler Crispin was one of the 100 players this week on the 1% Club. He actually did well. He made it to 40%. The 40% question.
Yay!
Each of the colored eggs contains one hidden letter. The blue eggs contain A through I. The green eggs contain the letters from J to Q, and the red eggs contain the letters from...
Are you talking about Total Knockout?
That's it. That's it right there. Thank you. Which carton below is the only one that could contain the word excellent? Tyler went out on that question. He was one of 13 to go out on that question. He says he thought he got it right. Sorry. But ultimately, we had four people make it to the 1% question for $99,000. And if you will all pay attention to the WLTI chat here in Discord, these words have all been assigned a two-digit number according to a certain rule. What two-digit number should go with 17? A legit, it says 1 equals 12. 8.
Oh, well, you should say it in a different way. Yeah. Though.
1, O-N-E, 1 equals 12. 8, E-I-G-H-T, 8 equals 32. 10, T-E-N equals 21. 12, T-W-E-L-V-E equals 42. 17, S-E-V-E-N-T-E-E-N equals... what?
I'm sure there's going to be some sort of pattern between the letters and the numeric value.
Yes. The correct answer here is 54, the first digit of the number of consonants. The second digit is the number of vowels. 17 has 5 consonants and 4 vowels, so the correct answer is 54. Nobody got it right! I instantly picked it up, but nobody got it right.
Hey!
So, now we move to the Concords.
It's business. It's business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time. Ooh.
It's business. It's business time.
Okay, so Button Murray is looking to get into the game, well, further into the game, with their own take on hide and seek called Predator versus Prey. It is basically going to be a long-form hide-and-seek, and hosting the whole thing and helping to develop it, Jack Reacher himself, Alan Richson.
He's on a hot roll right now. One of the most successful series on Amazon. By the way, you should watch it. It's really good. Season 4 is filming right now.
Yeah, he's come a long way since being that that jerk from season 3 of American Idol.
Really? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, really. Oh. Look it up.
Anyway, you will see this. You will see this, okay?
Okay.
No, I'm just saying, I could see this, but you're saying this could be making copies.
It's sort of like... It's like Survivor, but... yeah, it's sort of like Predator's...
Well, I remember this when it was called Wipeout with John Cena, or Chase on Sci-Fi, right?
Yeah. The group will be divided into two groups. Predators are able to make up to $500,000 for capturing Prey, who earn cash prizes for staying in the game. Each episode has a different challenge that changes the game and forces the prey out of hiding. No network attached, but that might change soon. Also, as we go to the Food Network side of things, they have slotted the final season of Ann Burrell on Worst Cooks in America for July 28th on Food Network to stream next day on HBO Max, of course. And while we're on Food Network, who here remembers a little show called Super Chef Grudge Match?
You, Gordon?
Me.
I do.
Yeah.
I do too.
Yeah, Food Network is bringing that back, but without the Super Chef, for obvious reasons, if you care to look it up.
Yeah, not good.
Yeah, but in place of the Super Chef, we have a heavy hitter in her own right, a boxer, and for my money, awesome presenter, Layla Ali.
Okay.
So that is coming later this month. Later this summer. August 12th on Food Network. But what's coming up later this week, Jay?
This was basically a text, okay? Basically, we have the Pokemon Game Show on Twitch, and on Friday, and on Monday is the season, probably series finale, of Yes Chef. I don't think it's going to succeed to a season two. I don't.
No.
But let's talk about that app, though.
Who here had Hannah Brown as an author on their bingo card?
I didn't, but go on.
Hannah Brown has written a romance novel called The Four Engagement Rings of Sybil Rain. This is going to be, this is her second novel after her debut romance novel, Mistakes We Never Made, last year. The novel, which published a couple days ago from Forever, is described as Forgetting Sarah Marshall Meets Anyone But You and centers on protagonist Sybil Rain. After her failed wedding a year ago, she uses the hotel vouchers for what was supposed to be her Hawaii honeymoon to get some me time. However, after seeing her then-fiancé Jamie there on a work trip, Sybil attempts to save face in front of the ex who broke her heart at the altar and says she's vacationing with her boyfriend. But what starts as a harmless lie soon spirals into an ex-fiancé fiasco when the second of her three failed engagements also appears. Is this runaway bride ready to heal and find a final chance at love once and for all? This does sound like freaking Sarah Marshall.
Pretty much. But you know what? That's smart, because who knows what the Bachelor and Bachelorette are going to do.
Yep.
These days. This, however, it's not smarter, but cost Hard Rock a lot of money.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Now, if you're living in New Jersey, then you can play Hard Rock Bet Trivia every Wednesday. And you have a chance to win your share of $5,000. Well, due to some, let's say, tech hijinks, everybody who answered seven questions... Normally, if you answer 7 out of 10 questions correctly, you're in the running for $5,000. But everybody won $5,000 who played and got 7 out of 10 right.
Where did you see this? I'm looking at this.
This is from the Instagram at Hard Rock Bet Casino.
Okay.
Now this is them saying, everyone who played live trivia accidentally won $5,000, but we're New Jersey's most generous casino, so everyone gets to keep the $5,000.
Whee!
You know, I have to say that is not dumb. That's smart, dude. Want to know why?
Good press.
Gordon, tell them why. That's press, because how many different trivia companies have we won from and they said, nope, tech issues, you know.
Issues, game doesn't count.
You better believe that will get more people who play the game.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes. It is only available in New Jersey.
Yay.
And, excuse me, and let me tell you something. Hard Rock will get their money back in spades when people throw their money back to it.
Okay? Remember, am I wrong? Remember, gamble with your head, not over it.
Not over it, yeah.
There you go.
But yeah, let's talk about some haterade and the internet again.
The internet. Haterade! Oh, the internet does be interneting again. Because this season has just been absolutely a hot tire fire that you can't stop looking at. Love Island USA has been compelled to release the following statement. And this was actually broadcast on Tuesday's episode. The key word in Love Island is love. We love our fans. We love our Islanders. We don't love cyberbullying, harassment, or hate. Meanwhile, on social media, the show issued another warning to remind fans that the Islanders are real people. We appreciate the fans, the passion for the series, and the amazing group of Islanders who are sharing their summer with us. Please just remember, they're real people. So let's be kind and spread the love.
Are you kidding? They said spread the love? Really?
I call it gimmick infringement.
No, but okay, Gordon. Do you remember the last time they did this? Big Brother did this. Okay? Because the Big Brother fans, who at times can be toxic as bleep, okay, can do the same thing. To me, this screams of, you signed up for this. You know what you're getting into.
You bought the ticket. You take the ride.
You know, yeah, I'll take some from column A, some from column B. You know, one aspect, you know what you're getting into. On the other aspect, you know, with the society the way that it is now, really, we can't give a little love?
We can. Yep. We should.
And Arianna Maddox has even gone so far, because she was on the After Sun episode on Saturday. She says, there's such a great, amazing communal experience when it comes to watching the show, but I do want to say something to some of those people who are online. Don't be contacting people's families. Don't be doxing people. Don't be going on Islanders' pages and saying rude things, because this is a fun, amazing, beautiful show, and we should be thanking each one of these Islanders every single day for giving us themselves. Be nice. Please be nice, or I'll come find you.
She might.
I would not put it past her. Nope. She already has my Peacock login credentials. I'm just going to shut up.
Exactly.
So we can't go to Casa Amor, but we can go a couple places. India and Bulgaria, mostly.
Been around the world and
we talked about this earlier. The Traitors is expanding again. This time they're going to Bulgaria. Later this year, BTV is signed up for the Bulgarian version of The Traitors.
Are they filming in the same castle or different castles?
I believe it would be a different castle. I know they use a different castle in India, where it was renewed for a second season. So, more Traitors India is coming to Prime Video. Season 2 is being developed.
Good for them. And we'll get some worldwide media pros.
I got pros. I got pros. In different area codes.
Area codes.
Pros. Pros. In different area codes.
In this week's Media Pro Reports, we have the cast for season 3 of Perfect Match. Alex Zamora, Amber Desiree Smith, Carrington Luis Rodriguez, Clayton Eckerd, Cody Wright, Daniel Perfetto, Freddie Powell, Hannah Burns, Jalen Brown, J.R. Warren, Juliet Porter, Justine Joy, Lewis Russell, Lucy Syed, Madison, Eric Yellow, Olivia Ray, Ollie Sutherland, Corey Tyler, Rachel Recchia, Ray Gant, Sandy Gallagher, and Scott Vandersloos. Mel Owen says, if you're 65 on the Golden Bachelor, don't bother. Harvey Guillen.
Okay. Ouch.
Oh, yeah. Harvey Guillen.
I know. That's
a bit of a ageist. Burn. That's a bit of a burn.
That's ageist.
Harvey Guillen and Brenda Song will announce the Emmy nominations July 15th. Al Roker gets the Lifetime Achievement News Emmy. Congratulations, Al. John Cena and Nikki Garcia reunite after almost 10 years.
Because they are both now in the WWE. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Tamara Maury Housley will host Baked with Love Holiday for Hallmark Channel.
Oh, by the way, also on the John Cena tip, his new movie Heads of State, with Idris Elba debuts next week on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Love Island, Ian Sterling is bringing his act to America. Can't wait for that. Riley Arnold learns that, and now I'm quoting, you can get shingles as a 20-year-old.
That is true. Yep.
That is very true.
Uh-huh.
Not sure if it's appropriate, but it's very true.
She's being open about it. Phil Keegan says that Tough as Nails will be back. He just doesn't know where or when. We lost Bobby Sherman this week. Nick and Vanessa Lachey trade their Hawaiian hideaway for a SoCal Digs.
Okay.
And that leads us to our media pro of the week.
I have a different one than you, though. Well, no, because not many people get to the age of 100. June Lockhart did.
Oh, yeah. That's right. June Lockhart. She got to 100 yesterday.
That's right. That's, yes. And by the way, that's not a knock on the inspired casting of what you're going to talk about next.
That is correct, because Fox has found the man who will lead Fear Factor into the next chapter, Jackass star Johnny Knoxville.
That actually is a casting that makes perfect sense.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. Considering how Johnny Knoxville came up on the scene to begin with.
There you go. And those are your pros.
And that is Brain Vision. Jason, if you would, please.
I'm shutting down right here.
Okay. So, we have 5 stories left to cover in 2025 so far. And tell you right now, there's some big stories. And there's some stories that we're going to be following for the second half of 2025. But we'll talk about them right after we talk about this here on We Love to Interrupt. We'll be right back.
Brain Vision News has been brought to you by Predator vs. Prey. No, not that one. This one. 16 contestants go into the Amazonian jungle to fight a predator. No, I mean the predator. 7 feet tall, covers in missiles, and can find you with heat-seeking missiles. Trust me, it's not going to last more than one season. Arnold Schwarzenegger hosts.
I hear the contestants taste just like chicken.
Yes, they do. But by the way, has anyone seen the new animated version on Hulu yet?
Killer of Killers. Yes, I have.
And?
It's very good. Just expect it. Go into it thinking that, okay, there's going to be a sequel behind it. Instead of thinking, okay, this is going to be one of a bunch of movies. If you do that, then you'll be fine.
Okay.
By the way, we have breaking media, pro. A wild Tom Bergeron has been spotted near the set of season 2 of Hollywood Squares.
That is true. Yes, he's taping an episode.
Yes, this from our chief high muckety muck, Carl. Thanks, Carl. Now, let's get into the back half of the top 10 stories of 2025. So far.
Number 5.
Survivor 50, in the hands of the fans, not the spoilers.
Yes. So, CBS was absolutely brilliant, and Jeff Probst was absolutely brilliant, because you know, and Gordon and all know, that people like Reality Blurred and Survivor Sucks were going to get the information on who was going to be on the Survivor 50. So what did CBS do? They controlled the output of information, and they are controlling the output of information so far as we know. And they had announcement, and we did talk about the recency bias, but actually, Gordon, I thought that was one of the smarter moves of 2025 so far.
I do too. Keep in mind that CBS has been known to control the narrative from all the way back in season 1, where they thought Jervis was going to win. Because they thought that they found something on the computer side on a glitch. And keep in mind, I was working for CBS at that point. So it was pretty hysterical when that all happened. So, you know, they've been controlling it since then. And they know what they're doing. CBS has always been good with that.
Indeed, right. They have.
So good on them.
Good on them for doing that, but I have a question again. Do you think the recency bias is going to help them or hurt them?
I think it's going to help. I really do on that aspect of it. Because, yeah, there's going to be a whole bunch of hardliners that are going to be like, well, I want this, and I want this, and I want this. It's not about the contestants, it's about the game.
Yep, and it's going to be one of those moments where you think, these guys think they know the game. Think again.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you do have some older players that are going to play and be involved. So we'll see if they can figure it out.
Yes, they will. Meanwhile, we go to...
Number four.
Two big losses in 2025. One just happened last week. The other happened several weeks ago. Talking about Wink Martindale and Anne Burrell. Of course, Wink Martindale being the legend that he is. The last of a dying breed, I want to say, because generations grew up watching Wink do his thing. We're talking about What's This Song and Gambit and Tic-Tac-Doe, Trivial Pursuit, Headline Chasers.
He is one of really, I would say, two or three left of the radio to game show era. Gordon, correct me on this one. It would be Bob Eubanks, Jim McCrell, and Pat Sajak are the only three left of that era.
I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're wrong on that. Yeah, and what you really did was that you lost two people and two major genres of the TV game show universe.
We haven't gotten to the second yet, but we're going to get there in a minute. Second, if you want to bring that up, go ahead, which is Anne Burrell.
Yeah, I mean, what's there more to say about Anne Burrell than the fact that she's been one of the few modern staples of Food Network in terms of reality show and game shows? If you wanted to put him out much more, of that with people still on the Food Network, you can make an argument that Amber-El should be one of those four.
I agree with you. I really do. It was just sad. I mean, and also Wink Martindale and the Wink Martindale site, which is now, what's it now called? The Game Show Vault?
The Game Show Vault, yes.
Which is the rarity of game show media, and they're still doing that to this day. They're still going to do it, too.
Indeed,
and they are. Yeah, that has to stop it. They're on them.
Yes, that's John Ricci and the gang over there at Game Show Vault.
Number three!
The passing of the wheel torch is complete. Yes, Pat Sajak was, did bow out last year, this time last year. But we still had one more season of Celebrity Wheel of Fortune. We saw that. Meanwhile, Ryan Seacrest inherits the mantle, as only Ryan Seacrest can. And the future of Wheel of Fortune is assured with his ratings boon and just his ability to do the job that was given to him.
You look at it this way. Ryan Seacrest is Ryan Seacrest. He's a consummate professional at that. So it's not a surprise that the ratings are going up. But Pat Sajak is a legend. He's an icon. He's going to be missed. And as we're sort of thinking, maybe Vanna White leaves to Maggie Sajak gets in?
I predicted this last year, and last week, and I'm going to predict it again here. I believe before the announcement of the fall season starting in September, Vanna White, this is her second year of the 2-year extension, right? I believe. Correct?
Uh-huh.
She's going to announce that she goes, and that Maggie Sajak will be the letter turner, and the next generation will be complete. That will be done this coming fall. I believe that to be. This was a transitionary period, and then we move on from there. But that's what I think. And again, just to me, Seacrest has this new energy that I love. Sajak has gone on to the sunset, and now he can enjoy his game show retirement till he comes back again.
Number two.
It's finally happening. Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy are going to streaming. Took a while to get there, but we are this close to getting. After years of starts and finishes and YouTube uploads and channel cancellations and channel reloads and The Price is Right, Let's Make a Deal, and all of the other shows that have streaming rights, now it's finally time for Jeopardy! Wheel of Fortune to have next day streaming rights. And of course, that's going to be Hulu, Disney Plus, Peacock. This is something we've been waiting for a long time for.
Yeah, it is. You sort of got the beginning of that a couple of years ago when you saw both Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy on Pluto and other places, and you sort of felt at that point the question wasn't going to be if, it was going to be when. And there you go.
Yep.
And I agree, but the question is, Gordon, when are we going to get the true streaming game show hit that we've been waiting 10 years for? Or 5 years for? When are we getting it?
Maybe sooner rather than later?
I hope so. Before we get to the number one story, and if you listen to the countdown, you'll pretty much know what that is, we have some honorable mentions. And Gordon, I know you have, since you didn't do the list and you didn't have some, give us some of your honorable mentions first.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of what I thought that was going to be there that wound up being there. Anything that I have is sort of minor in terms of that, because I think the bulk of what's really going to happen, you have the summer programming that's going to be coming up, and you have the winter programming, maybe a little bit of wheel sweeps. But, one of the great things about doing this at the halfway mark is we look and we see at the end of the year, we say, okay, what trends are still here, what trends aren't. I think maybe the changing of the guard syndication is something that I would have put up there. There are a bunch of shows that are leaving, like, for example, Person, Place, or Thing, etc. and that, and the syndication pattern.
But you know what? We Chico and I were going through that. That was kind of one of the honorable mentions, right, Chico? I believe that was one of
them. Yeah, in fact, listener, Cindy Saddleman, hi, Cindy, has mentioned Person, Place, or Thing going out on a Super Champs run. So there was that. We also had the premiere of Destination X, which is shaping up to be the show of the summer.
Is it really? Are the ratings that good?
Well, it's coming out of America's Got Talent, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. I also had some of the stories. I also, the Unamazing Race, which was the Amazing Race throwing everything against the wall and trying it to stick, and most of it didn't, which was not very good. PSN having two shows with the virtual sets that, and even Bingo Blitz with it having the appearance of not being very contestant friendly. I'll leave it at that. And the other one that we talked about, Super Bowl spot going to The Floor, which is one of very few game shows actually getting it.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, and you know you're gonna hear people say, "Well, it was one of the lowest rated lead out shows in history because the game wasn't that competitive and Fox didn't do much in the way of publicity for it." Look at the you're seeing the forest for the trees. The fact that game shows, especially a game show like The Floor, was getting a showcase on the biggest night of television ever, that speaks volumes. And it helped the season out. Of course, you know, it's going to be back for another season, and I can't wait for that.
Yes, indeed. But we have one more story to go. And this, so far, is the number one story of 2025. And yes, it's a courtroom story.
Number one!
Sony and CBS are going to war. Yeah, it all began with a lawsuit alleging a bit of double dealing. Then Sony decided they were going to take their ball, CBS sued to stop that from happening, and then through lawsuit, bringing on lawsuit, like a row of dominoes falling, the status quo holding. But that doesn't change the fact that Sony and CBS are not exactly on good terms right now.
I think that, again, this is one of those, we're going to see what happens, where we're not done with this story by a long shot. In terms of it, but again, that's like the face of TV, the face of streaming, the face of syndication, all that stuff. There's a lot of money to be made. We haven't figured out how to make it yet.
Yes. Because it will get, I thought it will get settled, but, you know. So, before we go into break, I want to throw something that I didn't want to throw on this sheet. I want to ask you, Chico, give me one story. Let's play Nostradamus. Give me a story that we're going to talk about in the second half of 2025.
Story that we are going to talk about in the second half of 2025, because we are in the last year of that deal with Family Feud and Steve Harvey. We're going to be on the lookout for a renewal of that deal. Because, again, okay. Family Feud, one of the big three in syndication.
Well, forget Family Feud. Steve Harvey is hosting the show in how many countries? So, I think you're going to see that. I think a lot of this year, more than other ones, is really going to be a continuation of the soap opera. That is syndication, that's right. I'm sure Big Brother is going to show its head up there. I'm sure Survivor 50 is going to show its head up there. I think we're going to get more of the same this year. I really do.
I'm just also checking to see, because we have the... I'm just looking here. SAG-AFTRA contracts were renewed in December of 2023. Remember, we're about a year and a half out. Do you think they're going to... If they don't, do they want another strike?
No. I'm going to go with no on that.
But again, all the stories of the second half, we're going to cover, of course, starting maybe in a week or two, depending on if we take off for holiday. But we have one more round to go, and that's, of course, speed round and stuff like that. So let's do that. And also, if you want to tell us what your top story is, go to our social media. We'll tell that at the end of the show. This is Jason Block, Gordon Pepper, Chico Alexander, WLTI on 5 and 1. Let's go.
WLTI has been brought to you by Canadian Bong Brother. That's right, we're outdoors, we're smoking, and we're giving you an alternative scent than the Canadian wildfires that will certainly happen this year because it's a dry heat and nobody has exposed the water. That is Canadian Bong Brother. And besides, Washington, D.C. is already getting into it, so you can too.
Did he just say Canadian Bong Water?
By the way, the sex appeal from Big Brother as we speak. Okay.
I say Canadian Bong Brother, sir.
Okay. Because that would make sense, too, you know.
Canadian Bong Water, sure. I mean, yeah. So anyway, let's start the speed round now. Jeopardy, more Wheel of Fortune, rotating Wheel of Champions.
I think so.
Yep.
I do, because honestly, the last few games, as we're heading towards the end of the season, have been bowling shoe ugly, really. No disrespect to any of the players, but...
This is late June. This is traditionally what happens in Jeopardy. There should not be any surprises here.
Indeed. Drag Race, All-Stars. Are we going to get the three we think are going to go into the semifinals? As we find out later tomorrow.
I want to say we will.
So say it.
We will. There, I said it.
Okay. Anything else? I don't think so.
No, it's we're.
Oh no! AGT. Have we seen a winner yet?
I still think that the winner was introduced in an episode one, but I'm not gonna say that they necessarily deserve it.
Okay.
So there. Okay. Do we have any? Actually, I'm going to switch over to our professional account because we do have some. We do have some comments that are coming through on our socials. Believe it or not.
Okay, go for it.
All right, this one comes from Carol Lind about Rate the Cage. She says, "Love the show, but the host needs to read the clues faster to give the contestants a chance to answer them all." I'm not going to disagree.
Okay.
So thanks a lot for writing. And if you want to be as cool as Carol is, why don't you send us some email at WLTI@GameShowNewsNet.com or follow us on all social media at GameShowNewsNet. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block, the number 2.
I'm a GSNN haterade.
And the network is at 5N1Net. That's the number 5ANDONENET, where we talk about anything and everything going on network-wide. Jay and I are going to take a Tuesday sometime in July to talk about things that are going on in OTAs. In the BS Big Show.
And the fact that Cameron Rogers said, after this year, I'm done.
Dude, what took you so long?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so all of that is coming up in the off-season BS Big Show in July. Meanwhile, over the weekend, there's a pay-per-view going on, isn't there, Jay?
Yes, we're going to cover it after it happens because, you know, it is Night of Champions in Saudi Arabia, which is, wow. Shouldn't have been there. I don't know. We'll see. But we got a good card. We'll see if they get it done and they get back to the United States safely. All In is in a couple of weeks. And we'll see where that goes from there. Gordon, what's happening with the UBA?
Regular season has ended. We're getting ready for the playoffs and some WCS stuff.
Okay.
All right. Over on the It Was a Thing on TV network, we have a new episode where we cover The Popcorn Kid, a show that did not last long, probably because while the show was airing, people were actually out at the movies watching movies. So yeah, old time movies, no. Movies of 1987, yes. And that's at itwasathingontv.com. Okay, we're gonna do something I don't think we've ever thought of doing until we looked at the calendar and realized that we could do it. We're going to take a bit of a break. React.
Unless there's a big piece of news.
Which is possible.
You know, every time we have said this, we wind up showing up next week.
Yeah, that is true. But who knows? Maybe we'll get lucky this year. But in any event, if we don't see you next week, enjoy the 4th. Please be safe. Please be happy, and we will catch you with all of the catch-up on July the 10th as the road to 500 continues. For Gordon Pepper, for Jason Block, for everybody at 5-1, I'm Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the love.
Beep.